Now you'll find my text this morning in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Dear congregation, as in the previous chapter, so in this chapter, there is much here before us to comfort our souls. When these words were penned, there was this great intention that the people of God would be comforted. Now chapter 40 is a new beginning, a new division in this prophecy. And from this chapter now, there is much more concerning Christ, the gospel, and his kingdom in the gospel age. Yes, there has been certain verses already. We know those well-known words in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and so on and so forth. And his name shall be called Wonderful. We've been given certain insights into the glory of Christ. But now from chapter 40, which is a new division, there's much more concerning Christ, the gospel, and his kingdom in the gospel age. In chapter 40, we are introduced to John the Baptist, who went on before as a harbinger, making known Christ. We are also presented with the good tidings, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who, as we see in verse 11, not only died for his people, but is a shepherd to lead, guide, carry, and feed them. Now the chapter begins in chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, save your God. A word of comfort was to be brought to the people. If you go to the previous chapter, there had come the news of the Babylonian captivity. Now in chapter 40, there was a word of comfort for them. Particularly in view of Jesus Christ, there was the news of pardon and further blessing through him. We're moving on now into the 41st chapter. As already mentioned, there is much here to comfort the people of God. Notice verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Words of comfort. Well, let's now come directly to verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Now in this chapter, the church had her enemies, and many were trusting in idols. But here in this chapter, the people were exhorted to trust the Lord and take comfort, as we see, in who the Lord was, what he had done for them, and what he would continue to do for them. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. He had helped them in times past. He would continue to help them. Well, let's come to these words this morning. First of all, I'd like us to consider the Lord's gracious and compassionate reminder. Secondly, the Lord's supporting and guiding hand. And then thirdly, the Lord's comforting and reviving word. The Lord's gracious and compassionate reminder, the Lord's supporting and guiding hand, and the Lord's comforting and reviving word. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. We live in challenging days. We all feel our smallness. I was in Suffolk yesterday, and certain ones there felt their smallness. It's not an uncommon thing. Many congregations all over this country feel their smallness. The believer can feel lonely, and the believer can be burdened with their sins. They fail the Lord, and then when the Holy Spirit convicts, they feel it. They grieve him. For the people of God in Isaiah's day had grieved him. But here the Lord, in a gracious and compassionate way, reminds his people of the precious and wonderful truth that he will support them and he will help them. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He was their God, and he will come and support them and help them. They were reminded. There was a great enemy before them, the Babylonians. But the Lord says here, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. The Lord was with them. They felled him, but the Lord would not fell them. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He reminds them that he was their God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Now firstly, it is a gracious reminder. For I, the Lord thy God. Think what the children of Israel had done. They had felled the Lord. They did not deserve the Lord's continuing favour. Here comes this gracious reminder. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. They did not, neither do we deserve God. Nor do we merit his continuing favour. We do not deserve him, dear brethren. We did not deserve one more hour of his favour. Yet he blesses us. And here he reminds us. And it's a gracious reminder. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. The Lord shows grace to us. Here is an evidence of his favour. But also secondly, here was a reminder of his compassion. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, we read, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fell not. Here were the Babylonians. They were before them, but the Lord reminds them, and it speaks of his compassion. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He hadn't forgotten them. What a mercy. And what a mercy it is to us today. The Lord has not forgotten us. These are challenging days. We've seen compromise in the Church of Jesus Christ. But the Lord has not forgotten his faithful people. What a mercy that is. Oh, what a gracious and compassionate God we have. Who comes again and again to remind us. For I, the Lord, thy God. We fell him, we backslide, but he will come again and remind us. Let's consider this amazing truth and this gracious and compassionate reminder this morning. It's good to be reminded again of the promises and precious truths of Scripture. Take, for example, those words in John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It's good to be reminded of that, isn't it? We are in the hands of the Saviour. And no one, no man will be able to pluck us out of his hand. It's good to be reminded of that. For Satan can whisper in the ear of the believer. It's good to be reminded of that truth. You're in my hand. Well, here we read, for I, the Lord, thy God. He's our God. Our covenant God. The covenant God is speaking here. For I, the Lord, thy God. We can be sure of this. The Lord our God is reminding us of this great truth. It's a word for us. And it manifests his favour and his compassion. He's our God. He's ours through our blessed Redeemer. Go back to chapter 14. We see much concerning Christ. And God is ours because of him. For I, the Lord, thy God. Gill writes, through Christ in a covenant way. For I, the Lord, thy What grace is evident here? He's our God, dear brethren. You remember those words in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16? I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's our God. And he dwells in the midst of us. And he walks with us. How amazing that is. He's ours, and he goes with us. What grace, what mercy. He's given himself to us. What favour, dear brethren. In Exodus 20, verse 2, we read, I am the Lord thy God. Are you listening to what the Lord is saying? I am the Lord thy God. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God. You're reminded of this truth this morning, and the Lord desires to remind you. We have such verses here in Scripture to remind us of this gracious and wonderful truth and what grace it is. What amazing grace. For I, the Lord, thy God, he's given himself to us. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, what can he give more than himself? What can he give more than himself? He's given himself to you. And you're reminded of it this morning. And as you think of him, that he's given himself to you, oh, what blessings have flowed your way. He's your God. For I, the Lord, thy God. The Lord Jehovah. The self-existent one. The eternal one. And here he who exists by his own strength and power. He, the eternal one, reminds you this morning that he belongs to you. I, the Lord thy God. How amazing these words are. Now just go back to verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We think of those words, I am with thee. We can be assured because he's our God. He's our God, and thus he will be with us. There's no need to fear. He's with you. He is your God. What a blessing to be a Christian. If there's one here you're not believing, oh, turn to the Saviour, that you might know his accompanying presence, and that you might know these words of comfort. Fear thou not. There's no need to fear if you flee unto Jesus, but you ought to fear if you remain in your unbelief. But oh, what comfort here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, for I am thy God. There's no need to fear. God is your God. You may feel your failings, but he says to you, I am thy God. He will not turn you away, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. All that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No, he's your God, your Redeemer, and he will hold your hand. I am thy God. Verse 13, for I, the Lord, thy God. Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? All to focus on that. God is for us. He's our God. Who can be against us? Our foes are numerous. Satan is a powerful lion. But who can be against us? For God is with us. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? And as we think of these words here, dear brethren, there's a little congregation here. What a comfort it is. Our enemies are numerous in this country. But God is for us. And he's our God. And he walks with us. What a thought that is. He's with us. He's our God. And he walks with us. Though we may be despised by others, we are eternally loved by the Lord. And he delights in us. And he walks with us. Rest in this precious, gracious and compassionate reminder. It's a gracious reminder. It's because of grace he speaks these words, but also out of compassion. You see, he knows we need to be reminded. And so he comes again and again in a merciful way to remind us of this truth. I belong to thee. What mercy he has towards us. He's your God. And he will be your God forever and ever. You have him forever. It's not just to death. No, it's forever. In Revelation we read in chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He's our God now. He will always be our God. When we're there in the heavenly world, in Emmanuel's land, God will, in such a gracious way, continue to remind us that he belongs to us. We will ever have this thought in mind. He's our God. Yes, at times here, we're not always thinking, and so he, in a compassionate way, reminds us. But then, we will always be considering the Lord who belongs to us. There'll be no enemy to put you in fear in Emmanuel's land, no sin to trouble you. You will bask in the light of this wonderful truth, for I, the Lord, thy God. He's your God. Let's think afresh today. He's your God as you begin this new week. And he will bless and he will help you. He will keep and support you. God is with you. The Lord, your God, goes with you. Secondly, the Lord's supporting and guiding hand. The Lord's supporting and guiding hand. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He will hold thy right hand. Go back to verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's no need to fear. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your God. He will uphold you. And just follow it through. He's your God, so he will be there for you and there to support you. He will hold thy right hand. If he was not your God, he wouldn't hold your right hand and lead you through life and lead you home. But he is your God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In my study next to my desk, I have a picture of myself when I was about 7 years of age, next to my grandfather on the farm. And I'm often reminded of my grandfather, how he often used to be alongside me, and he used to guide me and point the way with his hand. I remember his hand often. He had a big hand and he used to point the way. Sometimes I would feel his hand on my shoulder as I was using the rotavator on his vegetable patch. Oh, dear brethren, your heavenly Father is with you. And he guides you. He leads you. He points the way and he upholds you. He's with you in every experience. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Through the waters of danger, through the rivers of trial, and through the fires of adversity, he is with us. You are not alone. Do you ever feel alone? Well, from one point, you are. Yesterday I stopped at Flatford Mill. Some of you may have been there before. It's that famous mill that was painted by Constable. And I sat in the car on my own. There are times when you're on your own, but you're not really, are you? Because the Lord is with you. You have one standing there with you and there to support you. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Let's open these words up this morning. Will hold thy right hand. Firstly, he holds our hand to go with us. He holds our hand to go with us. He takes your right hand. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. What a friend who goes with us. He is the Lord our God. You consider those words we considered on Wednesday in Hebrews 2 verse 11, that the Lord is not ashamed of us. Yes, he gets grieved with us, but he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And so he holds our hand to go with us in the first light. He goes with us into the valley. The child may be a little anxious of going into the school. The parent takes hold and goes with the child. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He takes hold, firstly, to go with you. He comforts and he goes with us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, because he's taken hold of your hand. Secondly, he holds our hand to enjoy fellowship with us. He holds our hand to enjoy fellowship with us. Consider a married couple. The husband takes hold of his wife's hand. And they go together. And they talk together, maybe on a walk or on a journey. The husband listens and seeks to encourage. They enjoy close fellowship. But the Lord takes our hand to enjoy fellowship with you, as a couple would. The Lord communes with you. He has hold of your hand. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He goes with you, first of all, and he enjoys fellowship with you. Thirdly, he holds our hand to assure us of his love. He holds our hand to assure us of his love. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. The Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore will loving kindness have I drawn thee. He drew us in love, in loving kindness, and he took hold of our hand. And as it were, again and again, he takes hold of our hand to assure us of his love. It's a lovely sight to see a married couple holding hands. They're going together, enjoying one another's company, and they're assuring one another of love. But the Lord will hold the hand to assure of love. We saw this earlier, did we not, in the week. Song of Solomon 2 verse 6. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He supports, as we will note in a moment, but also he takes hold, he has and he does, to assure of love. Fourthly, he holds our hand to assure that all will be well in the end. He holds our hand to assure that all will be well in the end. Go back to verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not. Many would have been fearful. What's going to happen? The Lord takes hold. All will be well in the end. The Babylonian captivity will come, but the Lord will not forsake his true people. Fear thou not. The Lord takes hold of your hand. He already has, but from another viewpoint, he takes hold to assure you that all will be well in the end. Fear thou not. It is implied at times the Lord's people get fearful. I think of the disciples. Why are ye so fearful? The Lord said to them. We shouldn't be surprised then if we do come into situations and we experience fear. We are but men and women. We are but human. And one may think, well, what's going to happen in this situation? Fear thou not, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He has hold of your hand to assure you that all will be well. You will get through. Psalm 73, verse 23. And you remember Asaph, his faith had been greatly shaken. God is good to Israel, but as for me, what about me? But then in verse 23 we read this: nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Asaph had been fearful, but he was held. His right hand was held. And he could speak of an afterwards. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You will get to glory, dear child of God. You will get through. He takes hold of your hand to assure you all will be well in the end. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. One of old wrote, and I'm not sure who wrote it, though we pass through tribulation, all will be well. Perfect is the grace that sealed us. Strong the hand stretched forth to shield us. All must be well. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He's saying to us, all will be well for you in the end. Fifthly, he holds our hand to lead and guide. He holds our hand to lead and guide. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He directs our steps. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. He teaches us to profit, and he leads us by the way that we should go. And so he takes hold of the hand. He leads us on life's journey. He is a father to us. Think of a father taking hold of the child's hand to guide and direct on the journey or on the walk. He's a shepherd who guides and leads his flock. It's all seen, is it not, in Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Consider the shepherd leading and guiding. Consider the Lord who leads you, who takes hold of your hand. He leads you beside the still waters and makes you sit down. Why do you know at times that refreshment? Because he has hold of your hand, and he's led you to a time and place of refreshment. But he's also with you in the valley, and are we not thankful for that? He has hold of your hand in the valley. It may be dark, and you may not sense that he has hold of your hand, but he will not let your hand go. He will hold your hand and lead you home. Psalm 107, verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation. He led them by the right way. For them it seemed a long way at times. Surely is it this way. But he led them by the right way. And though at times providence seems dark and mysterious, and one might question, what is happening? Surely was it meant to be this way? He leads by the right way, and he has hold of your hand. He leads you to that difficulty. He'll lead you through that difficulty. You may be perplexed. Was it really meant to be this way, Lord? He's still got hold of your hand, and he'll lead you by the right way. And then sixthly and finally here, he holds our hand to support and uphold us. He holds our hand to support and uphold us. Perhaps that's the one we particularly think of first of all, but there's those other things he does. Well, let's consider here. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Go back again to verse 10. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He upholds, he supports. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and what arms of strength and power to uphold us and to carry us. Go back to chapter 14, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. We can think of his everlasting, compassionate arms by which he draws us near, but then also his everlasting arms to carry us. You're being held. The shepherd holds you. The covenant God has made known that he upholds you in life. Now you may not sense it at times. The baby or child asleep in the mother's arms is not aware, but they're in the mother's arms. You may not be aware, but you're in the arms of your heavenly Father. You are being held. We're not always aware, are we? You went to sleep last night, I trust. And when you were fast asleep, you weren't aware you were being held, but you were. You're being held all the time. It may be dark and mysterious, the providence for you, but you're being held. He has your hand and he will uphold you through the valleys, through the waters, and he will bring you safely home. You will get there. We've already thought he takes hold of the hand to assure that all will be well. Well, you will get there because he holds you. He will keep you. We're in the hands of the Lord. We're in the hands of Jesus, and no man can pluck us away. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Well, as we come to the conclusion this morning, thirdly, the Lord's comforting and reviving word. The Lord's comforting and reviving word. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. It's words of comfort. That we thought it is a gracious and compassionate reminder. It's words of comfort, isn't it? Whereby the soul can be revived. A word of comfort. Notice verse 1 of chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. It begins with comfort there. Here's the comfort in this verse. Fear not, I will help thee. There's more comfort and more comfort as we go through these things. And are we not thankful for that? There's more comfort in store. We've been comforted often, but there's more in store. And the Lord will comfort us because he knows we need it. We need comfort. There'll be a time in the future you need more comfort. A fresh supply of comfort. Whereby your soul is revived. In the olden days, most had milk delivered to the door each day. Fresh milk. And on the hot days of summer, I as a child used to get the milk bottle and have a little drink out of the bottle before my mum knew. And I was revived. Well, the fresh milk came each day. The Lord sends fresh supply. A fresh supply of comfort. The Lord's comforting and reviving word. Fear not, I will help thee. Back in chapter 40, there's the news of pardon. What a comfort that is to be reminded often of it. Our sins are forgiven. If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. I've often thought of those words, and you've often heard them quoted by me in prayer and said in sermons. Because they're words full of comfort, are they not? When we get to the but, it's a blessed word. A word of comfort. There's pardon. Fear not, we see in chapter 40. Here's a word of comfort. Fear not, I will help thee. Precious are the words, fear not. Particularly when they come from the Lord. Fear not. One can be frightened. One can be perplexed. Do you remember those shepherds? They were sore afraid. They were so fearful. They saw the glory of the Lord Could they live any longer in the light of the Lord? The angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel is a word of comfort to the fearful soul. Fear not. Maybe one here, you're fearful because you're not a Christian. Look unto the gospel. Look to the Lord. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. And dear brethren, as we think of the gospel and as we think of Christ, we need not fear. Sometimes a believer can be troubled. They're saved, but they can be assaulted by doubts. Fear not. It's good to remind ourselves and to hear those words. All is well for you in the gospel. Well, in that initial way, one is comforted. Fear not. But then consider further on the journey to heaven for the believer. There comes again and again these words of comfort, which are able to comfort the soul and revive the heart. Fear not, I will help thee. You may have a situation before you. And you look at the situation. How am I going to get through this situation? I've got so much to do, maybe. I've got difficult people to encounter. Fear not. I will help thee. And we need to sit down and put our concerns to one side and rest in the promise. Fear not. I will help thee. And he won't break his word. He'll help you in that situation. He'll help you with those difficult people. He'll help you when it seems dark. He'll help you when you're wading through the waters of affliction. Fear not, I will help thee. When your enemies encompass round about you, fear not, I will help thee. Oh, to take these words. Oh, for the Holy Spirit to apply them within, that we might be comforted and a little revived. Remember those words we considered the other day, Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken me, Lord. On a hot day, you may go and get a glass of cool water to revive you. The word of God is like cold waters to revive the soul. This reviving is a precious thing, isn't it? Fear not, I will help thee. Just a little reviving means so much, doesn't it? Yes, I can go on. But the Lord will come again and comfort you again. Well, in closing, note these words, fear not. Why are ye so fearful? The Lord said to his disciples. Why? We are but men and we need to remember it. It's no point thinking we're more than men. We are but men. Fear not, says the Lord. Just focus on that. Fear not. I will help thee. He's your God and God is of infinite power. He made this universe. Can he not help you? The nations are but a drop in the bucket, we read in Isaiah. Who are we? We're so small. Can he not help you, who are the apple of his eye? He will help you in view of the enemy, help you in view of other difficulties you face on your journey to heaven. He will help. You may struggle, but he is there to help you. Fear thou not. He will help you all the way home. He will lead you the right way, even though at times we may question, is it really this way? But he'll lead you by the right way and he'll help you all the way. On the way you may shed many a tear, but then he'll help you to that wonderful place wherein he will then wipe away every tear. He will deliver you safe home to heaven. And we can be assured of it this morning. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, he has hold of your hand. He's going with you. He will commune with you. He will enjoy your fellowship. He will assure you of his love, and he will support you. And he will support you all the way till you get home. There are times of fear. But oh, let's take these words of comfort and may we know that little reviving, this Lord's Day morning. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee for these words. O Lord, may we know that calm instead of fear. And may we know those words of comfort. May we consider that thou dost walk with us. May we consider that thou wilt come to seek to assure us of thy love and that all will be well in the end. O Lord, how can we thank thee enough? Thou dost belong to us. Thou hast given thyself to us, and what more could thou give than thyself? O Lord, we thank thee for this. Thou hast given thyself to us, therefore we can be assured that thou art with us, and thou art hold our hand, thou art never leave nor forsake. Lord, help us to focus on these words, and may we rejoice in these words. We are so blessed. How many in this country do not know thy accompanying presence? Sometimes we do not sense it, but Lord, we know we have it in view of thy word. But how many do not know these things? How blessed we are, and we would rejoice that thou hast given thyself over to us, and that thou wilt be with us in life and lead us the right way home. O Lord, hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our final psalm is Psalm 118. We're going to sing from verse 5 through to verse 9. I in distress called on the Lord. The Lord did answer me. He in a large place did me set. From trouble made me free. The mighty Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. For anything that man can do, I shall not be dismayed. The tune is Glasgow. We're going to sing Psalm 118. Verses 5 through to verse 9.